This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I Grubhubbed one of the best sushi restaurants in Buffalo, and they brought sushi to my son and I. It was great.
At your house?
Yeah. It was awesome.
That. Listen to this. What a life.
And that's a very good thing to have delivered. Because, you know, hot is not really pertinent at all.
Don't eat hot sushi.
Right.
Don't eat it.
In fact, I think hot sushi would probably be terrible. Really gross.
Don't do it.
It's Mike Shope.
Fresh hot in neon is not something you see above the sushi place.
Can I get this? No, that's right.
Fresh hot sushi. That is so gross. Fresh hot sushi here.
You get some sushi, you open the lid, and it's like steam comes out.
And the Bulldog.
Please stop. Please.
Right, Ryan? You ever do that?
I've got nothing
you get
to
the
throw
sushi.
Up in my stomach.
You open up the lid and it's just sizzling like a fajita.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
What are you doing in there? I'm microwaving the sushi.
Right. WGR Sports Radio 550.
How much do you like Bill Polian?
I like him okay. I don't watch the programs that he's on. You mentioned earlier today that you saw more of it than I did. So I'd missed him being what you described as good on the Anthem policy. I like remembering him as someone who meant a lot to the Bills. That's how I feel about Bill Polian. So I thought, like, earlier this year, talking about Lamar Jackson was really tough. Mm-hmm. Stop. Like, what are you doing?
Yep.
I like remembering him as this fiery team-building character in Bill's history. I don't like watching him sometimes. Like he, the part of the show that you described as being good today that I saw was him at a board trying to move things around on that touchscreen, and it was a mess.
Yeah.
So I just like don't have him do that. Why? Somebody else do that. That's not what he should be doing.
When the other guy's using the touchscreen, you want him to give him a marker or something,
yeah, right.
And a chalkboard,
a dry
give him some
erase
chalk.
Board. Like, I don't
just
know.
Let him write it.
Right. I don't know. Why do you ask?
Well, I'm not his biggest fan, but I thought he was brilliant on this today. They did a great job. This show, I usually make fun of it. But you had Josina Anderson, Jeff Darlington, and Bill Polian, in that order, discuss the Anthem policy on NFL Live on ESPN. And Josina Anderson said, among other things, she's been in touch with a lot of players, and nobody wanted to go on the record, but this group of players she talked to was put off, and now it was about the next step. And then Jeff Darlington made a point, and he said that he talks to players who like this. Not everybody wants to be protesting. And so that was an interesting thing. It's like, remember, there are players who will, you said this today too, I think, there are players who will be glad that there is this policy. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then Polian took his turn, and he was great, I thought. He said, the thing you've got here is, and I hope I can do this justice, the thing you've got here is you have two parties, and they're both right. The NFL is right for wanting people to respect the flag and the national anthem. They have a point.
Mm-hmm.
The players are right because what they are saying by their protest is valid. There's no doubt about that. So you have two parties who are both right. Now what? You have to make it work. Get together and make it work. Employers have rules.
Mm-hmm.
The players have a voice that should be respected. Can you make this work now? And he went on. He quoted Lincoln. Like, he went on about it. It was really smart. So I wanted to say that because I think sometimes, like, yes, Lamar Jackson, sometimes he sounds like he's here to represent a long time ago. And, you know, that's not bad exactly. It's just sort of not really what I want to hear. And I think it's wrong in some ways sometimes. Right. But I thought he was great today.
I'm glad that you highlighted that because, you know, you asked me what I think of him, and I'm quick to get to, like, I'm not a huge fan of what he does on, you know, in media. Because I do think he sounds just maybe antiquated mostly. So good. I'm glad to hear that he did such a good job on a complicated issue because it can be hard to articulate yourself and your thoughts perfectly on something that is so divisive.
Preston is next on WGR. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Good. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Sure.
I'm a 55-year-old white man, and I have some privilege. I'm also 6'6", about 3'10". So, you know, I have some presence and have the ability to be able to say things sometimes that other people don't. I'm also a school teacher, and I work with troubled youth, whether black children, Hispanic, or white. And what I've discovered is some people just don't see or realize is when I take my students out somewhere, and say we go into a store, in a sort setting, I've got a couple of black students with me, a couple of white students with me. Inevitably, the manager sees us walk in, and either he or he'll have a staff member follow my black students around the store.
Oof.
Never have they ever followed any of my white students around the store.
How old are they, and where do you live?
I live in Fort Worth, Texas, Dallas Market.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so some of these people just don't realize what this black youth are having to deal with all of their life and not having that voice. And, you know, when people who are speaking out against their protests, which is a silent protest, it's not about patriotism, and they know it's not about patriotism. It's about race at the bottom line. It's about race. Because if it was about patriotism, why doesn't Donald Trump or somebody else tweet about the hockey fans? When the hockey fans in the Dallas market, when they sing the national anthem, whenever they say the word stars, everybody in the whole arena yells. Or in Chicago, when they yell throughout the whole national anthem. Or, you know, in the Vegas game, when knights are set, they yell. I think, you know, because the players in the arena and thing are filled with predominantly white people, it's okay. It's okay to disrupt. It's okay to be disrespectful. But when a black man violently takes a knee, oh, my God, they're unpatriotic. I just, you know, it's a racial thing.
Thank you, Preston. Interesting. Well, I'm nodding through most of your call. I have two kids with brown skin, and it's just the beginning. I mean, I'll just leave it at that for now. It's a it's something I think about every day. If I speed, I might have a better chance of getting away with it than if he does. Just who knows? Mm-hmm. Or she does someday. I mean, it's just a ways off, but it's something that's always on my mind. I don't know if, just to give you a comment beyond that, what you're describing at hockey games is really the same. You know, is anything disruptive or just in the same category? I can appreciate why people would see not standing for the national anthem as a symbol, as a certain kind of symbol, and people have been describing for throughout this conversation, like, why it bothers them. I don't know if I've ever thought of, like, in Baltimore at the Orioles games, they yell O's at one point during the song. Right. Like, I've never really thought about that as the same.
I never have. But I notice it now, and more teams. The first team I'd ever experienced having a fan base do that was at a Baltimore Orioles game, and I don't even know how many years ago it was. It was, you know, long enough ago that I never really gave it a thought. Now when I hear, if I'm watching a game and I hear a fan base do something during the anthem, I notice it and I think about it in a way that I never did before because of this all this controversy. But I in saying that, don't either think it's something I would equate to kneeling during the anthem. But it is, you know, it's interesting. I appreciate Preston's call. I mean, I think there's a lot. I mean, there's just a lot out there. There's a lot out there. You know, stories, endless, It's not hard to find stories like he's describing going into the store. You know, you have to want to read them. You have to want to appreciate them. You have to care. And if you don't, then you know, I don't know what I can't really I can't really get anywhere with you. But to think that any athlete that is trying to make a point about the experience of growing up as a person of color in this country, and to have someone not want to acknowledge the difference in the life experience that that person would have versus the experience that you might have, I don't know why you can't find some empathy there to understand like why the conversation is being forced on you. And I don't even know if it's really being forced on you. It's being forced on you now, like because we're talking about it. If you're choosing to listen to us, you like listening to us. You know, I hope you're getting something out of this conversation. But the players kneeling, I don't even know, like what is it doing to you?
What was the disruption?
Yeah, you know,
in your life,
the flag is being disrespected. Well, these people are coming from a viewpoint and from an upbringing or even currently living in with an upbringing where their experience in America, which is what the flag is supposed to represent, freedom for all, is vastly different. And they're trying to tell you that. Like, you want the country to be great? You want to make America great again? Like, let's try to figure out a way that everyone can have, like, as level a playing field as possible. And that just doesn't exist. Because, yes, a black person walking along the street at night is going to be looked at differently by white people driving by, probably by cops, by everyone. It's just how the world is. And that doesn't make it okay. And kids being followed around stores, like, you know, my kids go to school with people of color. Like, they've got stories. Like, that's life. And I have no problem with the people who have grown up and lived through that and still are living through that, wanting to point it out and draw attention to it. I think it could make us better as a country. I think it could make people more understanding and realize that the experience is different for a lot of us.
Mike is next. Hello, Mike.
Hi, guys. Appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
Once again, I sort of feel like the NFL is going the wrong way about this. I'd love to see the NFLPA and the NFL work together, send out a request to every team saying, who are the players that want to have a social message or something that they want to protest or something that they want to speak about, do a PSA or a commercial during a game to attack or not attack the issues, but to broach the issue. Instead of trying to say, no, we want to do this and leave it up to the teams, let's have one pause. They have their Play 60. I see the commercials all the time. It's affected my family. My kids want to go out and play sports because they see those commercials. So they are impactful. I would love to see the two groups working together to solve the problem instead of, you know, sort of saying, oh, no, we'll leave it up to each team. I think that's sort of cowardly and sort of backing your way out of the issue.
All right. Thank you, Mike. I'll tell you what my kids would watch if the whole game were ads. Sometimes it feels like it is.
Yeah.
Did I tell you the thing? Did I say that on the air the other day about watching Steph?
No.
I didn't?
No.
Okay. Well, maybe you didn't hear it anyway if I did. I thought I did. I turned on Rockets Warriors recently.
Yeah,
did I say that on the air?
Yeah, you did. I'm sorry. Yes.
I turned on Rockets Warriors. It was just my son and I think it might have been Sunday.
Yeah, and he never looked up. Yeah.
He was on the couch and I was over here and I'm like, oh, let's watch this game. And I was basically doing play-by-play on this game to get his attention.
And he was reading a book.
Golden State was doing its dance. Everybody was going off, and it was like one of those great sections of their games. And he never looked up. Just doesn't care. And then when the ad comes on, like, what was it last night? We were watching something else last night, and this happened. It was the hockey game. I had the hockey game on, and some ad for some video game or something came on. It was like, both my kids just stop whatever they're doing, or they just stop talking, and they just stare at it. That wasn't the caller's point, was it? He was saying the Play 60 ads work in his family. Is that interesting? Does that surprise you? This guy's got kids who see those ads and they're like, I want to go out and play right now.
Yeah. You know, no, that is not my experience. I've not had that experience. They've taken part in Play 60 things. Like they've gone to the field house to take part in some of that stuff, but there hasn't been there's never like, oh gosh, get me out of the house right now because I just saw the ad. That doesn't happen with us.
Who is on line five, please? Hello? Derek, hello. Who is on line five? We've been trying to find out so we can take his call. Thanks. Okay, here's Mark with us. Hi, Mark.
Hi. I look at it pretty simply. The Bills, the Pakulas own the property. So
they don't.
A player comes, well, I mean, they own the stadium. They pay the Bills. So when the Bills come into the stadium, they're being paid.
They don't own the stadium. I don't want to try to derail you, but they don't own the stadium.
I equate it to if you and Bulldog wanted to do 30 seconds of silence for whatever cause, what would your bosses do?
Depends.
Well, most companies, you can't do that. So that's the way I look at it. If the players want to protest, fine. Protest before and after the game. But
it is before the game.
It is
before the game.
But they're being paid as soon as they're on that field, in my opinion.
Well, that's your opinion. But there are actually terms. I mean, is that a matter of opinion when they get paid?
They are not impeding the performance, the game, what you've paid for, what the owners pay them for in any way whatsoever.
I'm not saying impeding the play, but, okay, if they come into the stadium, isn't that when their job starts, when they start getting dressed?
I don't know.
I don't know. Why isn't it when they leave the house?
I'm not sure what the point of that is. In your example, if Mike and I chose to sit here and not talk for 30 seconds or a minute or try to do something that would be not what is expected, what we are contractually obligated to do,
right,
then our bosses could have a huge problem with us. But we're not doing that, and nor are the football players. They are kneeling while a song is being played. Some of them, only a few of them per team, even. Like I don't know.
But the policy, it's whatever the policy is. If the NFL says it's okay, then fine. But if the owners say it's not, they're not impeding the athletes, I think, because the athletes can then do it before and afterwards. You know, when they're not, in my opinion, just when you come on the field, you're being paid to play and to do whatever the owners tell you. And I equate it to when I to work. As soon as I walk into work, my public opinion doesn't really matter. If I go against whatever the company says, I can be fired or fined.
Well, that is the case here. I mean, the bottom line is anything the NFL puts out in terms of a policy, I would expect to be within their legal rights. So I don't really think that's what's at issue. Is whether it is within their legal rights to enforce this. There are things you can't do as an employer, and there are things that you can enforce. So it's not really that, and it's certainly not a matter of opinion when they go to work. There would be terms for these things. Anyway, yes, you have a job to do, we have a job to do, they have a job to do. And part of this debate is, are they somehow not doing it by this protest? And I remain unconvinced that they are somehow not doing their jobs by what has happened already. Did they miss part of the game? Did they not pay attention to the game? Is there something about their performance that was affected? Like, what was it? What was it that was affected? I don't know. No one's ever been able to explain that to me. Here is Steve next. Hi, Steve.
Oh, hi. You know, what I was just saying, I was just talking to one of the people on the phone, is that isn't this what this country is founded upon? I mean, protest is the freedom of speech. You're supposed to be able to, as long as you're not hurting anybody, you're hurting. You're feeling uncomfortable. You're letting it be known in public what's going on with you. If you're forced to go in the locker room and shut up and protest amongst yourselves, that's not even, what good is that doing?
I agree.
As far as President Trump, and I was just going to say that, as far as President Trump, he doesn't even respect the flag. He went over in Hawaii lying about the president and his birth certificate and trying to do that against the president. If the president is, the presidency is a part of the flag, then he doesn't even respect the flag himself. And these players telling them that they're going to force them to do this, and these are black men, it's not going to go over well because they've already had their names taken away, their language taken away, everything taken away from them, and, you know, throughout slavery, throughout the hundreds of years, they are. This is not going to go over well. The owners aren't going to win. If they have to break football down, this is not going to work.
All right, Steve. Some tough topics there brought up by Steve. Good job. 803-0550 is the number. We'll take more of your calls and give you the update when we return. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Bills Mafia is an energetic group. They're very passionate. I've gone out to eat a few times, and the welcoming by the people of the community has just been fantastic. A lot of good, hardworking people up here that really love football, and that's the type of environment that I want to be in.
There it is. Always compliment the fans. They know their football up here, and they're very passionate. Josh Allen today. Bills are off until next week. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, 803-0550 is our number. How about that Vegas is favored in the cup final? The idea, we should be used to it and sort of comfortable with it by now that, like, Vegas, this new team, is this good and this far along. They are favored in the final with home ice. Washington thought it was an unlikely finalist for all the times they've lost in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong.
Right.
These other guys are just in the league, and that's who you're playing.
Right.
Be kind of interesting for a Washington fan. Like, I know Vegas' record and everything, but don't you feel like, is this real? We get to play who in the final? We finally get to the finals?
Right. There would be, I think, it would be the same. If Buffalo made it, like, you got to be. They just got in the league. Come on. Cut it out. You tend to ignore what you've watched, if you've watched, through the playoffs done by Vegas, and you get to play them, and it's a trap. You go, I gotta, come on.
In a way,
I can't lose to them.
In a way, it's like what playing Edmonton in 06 would have felt like.
Yeah, right.
Even though, like, this is not an 8 seed or anything, but what?
Right.
I don't have to beat Chicago. I don't have to beat peak Chicago to win right. my cup.
Right.
Nice.
I went a little, I don't know how long. It felt longer. I just spent a couple of days crafting it. Maybe that's why the time spent was maybe longer than normal. But I wrote about Vegas. My Vegas problem is the title of the piece at WGR550.com. I never got around to even tweeting it today. But it's up. Maybe I'll remember during the next break to tweet it. But I tried to write down what my issue with them has been. But it's, you know, like a lot of things that are at least a little embarrassing to yourself, it's complicated. You know, like I can't really pin it down, but it just doesn't feel right. Come on. You can't go win the cup. You just got here.
Caps, though, they've put their time in. They deserve it.
Yeah.
Teams since the 70s, they've been good for many years.
Right. I mean, good.
You get one, you deserve it.
Yeah, and Ovechkin is, you know, it's easy for me. I like both of those teams last night, but I was rooting for Ovechkin and for the Capitals. And when he scored, what was it, even a minute into the game,
yeah,
whatever it was like there was yelling in my house when that happened.
Wow,
it was
right?
Yeah, just bang.
Like, did you think the goalie was slow on that? I did.
I thought he looked awkward because my son and I debated this, and I thought NBC didn't really spend enough time on it, but we concluded later that it wasn't deflected. I thought Strahlman got his stick on it, which is why it knuckled, but I think it knuckled right off of Ovi's stick.
Yeah, me too.
So, yeah, but yeah.
I just thought he was slow on that. Like, Ovechkin's there. That's his spot. And yeah, the other guy in the center really didn't have a lane to him.
Right.
I thought maybe the goalie should have gotten there. The puck hits the middle of the net.
Yeah, it went through. He had the first Burakovsky goal? Yeah. Also, same similar spot. Like, beat him. It's a tough spot. Like, the above the pad, below the blocker. But this one, the OV one, went between his arm and his body. It was not good.
Well, how about that? Caps and Golden Knights are the teams.
Go Caps.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Here's Tom next. Hello, Tom.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
I have a couple points about the Anthem protest. The first is, a lot of people keep saying, well, if I did this in my workplace, you know, I wouldn't be able to do it, or I'd get fired, or this or that. And these guys, this is a different kind of employment. This is not at-will employment. It is collectively bargained. They sign contracts individually. It is not the same kind of employment. Second of all, there are precedents where if you express your opinion, whether it's wearing a pro-life thing or whatever, if it doesn't affect your productivity and you're not, like, campaigning for a candidate or a referendum vote or something like that, that it is protected speech. And I am sure that the NFLPA is going to do their best to figure out if this applies to them. Third, everybody's screaming and yelling about disrespecting the vets, and the NFL has used this patriotism for 18 years now to make money. And I want to know what's more disrespectful, peacefully taking the knee, asking the country to be better, or prosecuting it out to make money.
Wow, solid job by Tom. Thank you, Tom. You know, one of the things different than most people in their lives is NFL players are not so easily replaceable. Look at their salaries. So they can be replaced, and they are replaced, but it's not like most of us. Most of us were to step out, so to speak, in our jobs. Our boss might go, okay, well, you can go. I'll get somebody else in here to do whatever the thing is.
Mm-hmm.
But NFL players, I mean, they make six, seven figures. They have real value. Not to say we don't, but they have, well, they have that value. They're not as easily replaced. I think that you know, it doesn't mean the protest is good or bad or right or wrong, but it makes it tougher to listen to comparisons to our relatively real life existences.
Yeah.
And if you know what I mean by that.
Yeah. And at my work, okay, I'm assuming if you have a normal job, and we don't even really qualify for this because we don't exactly have normal jobs, although between 3 and 7 we are, at least for like 15 or 18 minutes at a time, expected to do a specific thing. But then there's breaks where we could maybe do something that would emulate a protest, I suppose. But like if you have a 9-to-5 job, it's a traditional, you show up at the line you work on, or outside working for one of the utility companies, or your cubicle, whatever it is. Like 9-to-5, like that's your job. Like spending time protesting there would be taking away from your work. It just doesn't add up.
Yeah, the guy who made a point about that before said, well, to me, their job starts when they go on the field. Like, well, to what it is to you, it means nothing.
Right.
It's what it is in actuality, what it is in their terms or to their owners.
I don't know. It's been like almost 2 full shows of this, just in this little bubble of the last couple of days. And you can try to like find a reason why there's a problem with it. And it eludes me why you can't just respect what is happening, what the point they're trying to make is.
And leave it there
and just go, like, okay, maybe your life experience or the life experience of your family or the people in the community where you grew up is so dramatically different than mine that I should take a step back and just respect that. And I may not like what's happening, but I can find some find some ground to respect it, rather than try to find some reason to discredit it or some way to make a comparison that would be less palatable to me or someone. Like, well, what if they were doing this? And what if they were doing that? And they should do... I mean, how badly do you not want to hear about racism? Like, that's the bottom line question. How badly do you not want to have to think about racism? Because that's what it sounds like to me. You pull all the veneers of all the different questions away, and where I think you really end up is, I don't want to hear about it. And on some level, I understand. We've all got our problems. We've all got our lives to lead. You've got your challenges with your kids in school, just like I do, and their relationships and whatever. You've got your life to lead. But there is a greater world out there that does affect all of us.
I can be like that.
I think we all
can. If a news story comes on that's really upsetting to me, I can be like that. I hate that I'm doing this, but I'm turning it off.
Mm-hmm.
I can be like that. But that's that. That's not then like entering the conversation and yelling about what it is that I might not understand about it. It's just leaving it at,
mm-hmm.
I am disturbed by this, and I choose not to listen to this right now.
Yeah.
By the way, I did something, I think, just a minute ago that I have never done in 15 years with you, and that is step on your foot.
Yeah.
I just stepped on your foot. I don't think I've ever stepped on your foot.
Is that what that was?
Yeah. How did I get all the way over there? I don't know.
I don't know. I might have
stepped on your foot.
I don't know that I'm out of my lane.
We are two guys with big feet.
Yeah.
But I still have managed to never step on your foot. How big are your feet?
Size 14.
14 and 12. I have managed to avoid.
We are both wearing
stepping on flip flops.
We're both wearing flip flops. Yes, I know. Our lives are so hard. We have these jobs where we get to come in at
our regular jobs.
Almost whenever we want.
We are not allowed to act like football players.
Flip-flops.
Right. At these jobs, you can't do that. You can't get away with that.
I did some work today, though. Around the house. I did some stuff.
I just did 30-second silent protest earlier. I don't think anybody even caught it.
Mm.
Here is Luke with us. Hello, Luke.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Luke.
Hey, my feelings are a little different than at least what I've heard so far in the show. I don't really have a problem with them putting rules into place, saying, "Hey, this is what we expect out of you. We expect if you come to the field that you have to stand." I think it's within their right to do that, because at the end of the day, the players represent the owners of the team that they play for, and when they're on the field, that's what you associate them with. You don't associate them with any other cause that they're part of or any other part of their outside life that we all live outside of our job. You associate them with the organization that they play for. That's, to me, number one. Number two...
May I comment on that, please? I don't think that's necessarily true, but you can do that, and I think maybe most people do that.
Look at it. That means when you turn on the TV, if you
Luke?
See those gentlemen
Luke?
Out of with a uniform.
Okay, you were just talking the whole time. I just wanted to say, are you able to hear us?
Yes.
Okay. I think what you, if I I'm gonna try this again. I think what you said about players representing teams is it's not necessarily true. It might be how you look at it, and I think it might be how most fans look at it. But I don't necessarily ignore everything I know about an athlete when I'm watching them play, because their entirety to me at that moment is that they are on a certain team. Like, I don't know. I'm not going to bring up our jobs because I don't really. We just kind of settle how that can be ridiculous. Anyway, I think what you're saying is it can't be a blanket statement to represent fans.
Well, and I mean, I'm not going to argue or disagree or contend over, I guess, over whether or not people look at them and view them as a Buffalo Bill or a Dallas Cowboy. But if they weren't playing for that team, they would not have the platform on a Sunday afternoon or a Monday night to be able to get up and to do that, whether people agree with it or not. They most likely wouldn't have that platform.
Yeah, if they it's not the Bills or the Cowboys, it's the league, right? If they weren't football players, it wouldn't matter which team they were on. Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I think, the owners of each individual team, and then the league, and at times it's really easy to separate those two groups, and at other times it seems that they're synonymous, has felt for whatever reason that the stand the players are making, that they don't agree with them making it. Not necessarily the stand that they're making, but when they're deciding to do it. So I don't have a problem with that. I think the other part of it, as a fan watching sports, and something I've noticed over the last 20 years, is that sports in general, and ESPN, there's been several actually really good articles and things written on this recently, kind of the lack of progress and even the downturn that ESPN has seen over the last, 8-9 years. And a lot of it, I think, just my opinion, and there's, several others that have written articles on this recently, is that a lot of what we look at today on whether it's SportsCenter or different sporting programs on ESPN, it's become more politicized.
No, I have to stop you. There was just a piece written about this today. There is no data at all to support the theory that gets its espoused, and you are here to push it, that ESPN's decline in ratings has anything to do with politics. And believe me, this has been researched and examined closely, probably because there are lots of people that want to prove it true. It is not true. Well, there is decline in sports watching all over the place, and you can look. If you want to know what's true about that, you can find out.
Right. Well, and I'll tell you why it is true, because I know a ton of people.
Yeah, you think really that's going to outweigh this research? Like, you know enough people that can prove that they don't watch ESPN because it's political? Luke, I'm not just here to argue with you either, but when somebody pushes some nonsense like this, it's my job to call them on it. And there's just, there is no evidence of that at all. In fact, there is evidence that it's not so. So, I mean, I know you probably know a lot of people, but...
Well, I mean, before you belittle it, let me explain where I'm coming from.
No, I'm not gonna do that. I'm sorry. If you feel like it's belittling you for me to correct you on this, what am I supposed to do? I don't want people listening to this show to listen to us or you or anyone just push some lie. I just saw, it's funny that came up today. You can read that for yourself. I don't know if it was Deadspin that had that today. Somebody had that today. Like, there continues to be no proof of that, despite whatever certain news channel or whatever else wants you to believe that that's why people are turning off certain sports coverage. It is not so. Thank you for the call, nevertheless. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog back with more after this timeout on WGR.
We've been right around full participation, which is phenomenal this time of year, and I can't say enough about how much of a team effort that is from everyone around the building and the players in order to get here and stay here and put in the work. These guys are as focused of a group as I have seen this time of year and as hard of a working group of guys as I've been around to this point in my career.
Okay. Of course it is. Sean McDermott, the Bills coach. OTAs are over. Organized team activities, a.k.a. practices, are over.
For this week. Three more sessions next week, and then the week after that. And then I think some more after that, too. And then there's a mandatory mini camp, and then they have a vacation for about a month, and then training camp starts.
Question that my wife put to me today.
Okay.
Is it worse to have a bad infection or, quote, waste, end quote, a trip to the doctor? An infection that could be serious enough to be life-threatening. Is it possible that it's still worse to waste the trip to the doctor?
I don't want to rule it out, but I think the infection wins.
I mean,
it's worse.
This is not about the people at all, but that's some of the worst money I've ever spent today. It might be the worst money I've ever spent.
Yeah.
Plus, I have a sister who's a nurse. I could have taken a picture of this healed cut and sent it to her. Said, "I got anything here?" And she would have, I think, said, "No." But I, without even thinking twice about it, I heeded my wife's suggestion
to call the doctor.
Why don't you go in and have it looked at?
Yeah.
So I did, and that was $25.
Yeah.
And it cost me valuable pool time.
It had to be.
Valuable pool time.
Yeah. There's
$25, and the nurse suppressed a laugh.
Oh, boy. Wow.
Okay, so why are you here? And I told her, and I showed her. And she kind of went like, like that. And she said, "You're fine." And then she kept talking for like a couple of minutes. And I felt like it was only because otherwise it would have just been ridiculously short.
The shortest appointment ever.
Right. I got to give this guy a couple minutes, this patient, a couple of minutes here.
Right.
Oh, at least.
Wow. That's tough. But you were worried, huh? You thought maybe something was up?
I guess I thought enough I would
heed
the advice and go in.
Yeah.
But why didn't I just ever think to just text Betsy? Betsy, look. What do I got here?
Right.
Why didn't I think of that?
Yeah, and she would have made that sound.
She would have made that sound. Yeah.
And text.
And she definitely would have texted that sound.
Right.
Really? That would have been her response. Really?
Right.
Yes, really. I'm not the nurse. You are.
Oh, I'm sorry that you wasted $25 and
$25
and your whole day.
How many wings is that?
Your whole day.
My whole day, right? No. No, it was only a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Once right. I got there.
Oh, you got right in.
I had an appointment.
Well,
I made an appointment.
So what? Like, that ever matters?
Oh, right. You still sometimes have to.
It's like the Seinfeld reservations thing for me. Like, yeah, I had an appointment. So? Right. I'm going to sit here for an hour and a half. I had an appointment. Who cares?
I don't think you understand the meaning of reservations.
The way the doctor,
we do. No, I don't think you do.
That's the way the doctor works.
I don't think you do. So anyway, I'm fine.
All right, good.
Here is Nick with us. Hello, Nick.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Nick. Thank you for calling.
I'm fine.
Yeah, he's not infected. I got this thing on my hand.
I just mentioned it.
Anyway, go ahead, please, Nick.
No, I was saying Luke started out strong. I think like when I was listening to him, you know, for the main part about the team aspect, I think that like on the team side of things, yeah, you're representing the brand. You know, you're representing representing the Bills. But at the same time, these guys have plenty of platforms to use and. Because of where they are, and you know, and their notoriety, you know, playing whatever sport, even the lowest level of the guy, they're going to be followed by X amount of fans via social media, via all mm-hmm. the networks. So that's a whole other avenue which they can take to easily captivate whatever message they want to have, and probably make a better impact, you know, because you can actually get your specific message out there. Because each one of those people could be going back to the main issue: is what is their main issue? Why are they new? You know what I mean?
I would say first they probably do that. So, I don't know, like, they probably do that. And I don't know if any of those tweets are going to get a national conversation going that lasts years. But that's what we have with this. Thank you, Nick. 803-0550 is the number. Is there more to say here? Like, I think it's not an either or. I mean, I think it's obvious, or we know, that a lot of players do a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's white players and black players do a lot in the community. And they are. They do donate. They do donate their time. There is a lot of this already. It's not like they've chosen the anthem protest.
Right. What I think is important to point out about that, I mentioned this yesterday, is that like I think one of the longest running and still, I think, true enough conversations you'll get into with people who are within the team. Or even a certain kind of fan who maybe is involved in these endeavors or people who work with you. Like, how come you guys don't ever talk about how many Sabres were at the hospital? Or how come nobody's talking about Lorenzo Alexander's bowling event? Or, like, whoever. I mean, so many guys taking kids Christmas shopping. Whatever it is, all the stuff they do. And, like, they do all that, and they do all that in relative anonymity compared to the amount of attention a few guys per team kneeling on the sideline got. I mean, just think about that. Doesn't make it right, but it's just the way the world works, man.
It is worthy of publicity, and usually when that comes to me, I'm embarrassed about it.
Yes.
I mean, it is. Like, there's an effort here to make the conversation interesting, and people gravitate to criticism and controversy, and if it ever sounds like our show is largely about that, it's by design. I mean, it's what am I supposed to say back? No, it isn't. Like, it's supposed to be interesting. It's supposed to grab you. And that makes me feel pretty bad. I mean, because there is a lot of incredible amounts of great work that those guys do through the years. I mean, for lots of causes.
Thank you. I know we are really late, but you just triggered something in me. Like just thinking about our small part in all this. We are generally criticized when we're criticized for being too negative by a certain kind of fan base. And I think in this instance, like, I am defending football players vehemently about something far more important than whether they ran a pass route correctly. And yet I'm catching all kinds of flack for it. Think about that. Like, you're mad at me because I'm defending players who are telling you, hey, racism is kind of bad. I don't know, man. Think about that. Like, if you're tweeting at me and you're I'm never listening to you again, and you're pissed off at me because I'm preaching. Think about that. You're mad at me for defending players who are trying to tell you that there's a racism problem.
You think it's the same guy as says,
yeah.
Why do you guys hate the Bills?
Yeah.
Maybe. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, back with the continuation of our show after the update on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.